Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I'd like to look at verses 22 to 25 this morning. We went through the book of Acts, 3 years plus ago. And the last few days I've had this particular passage of Scripture on my heart. And I feel as though that this is the message for this morning. I'd like to read these verses and then we'll take a few minutes and consider what the Spirit of God has to say. The Scripture says in verse 22, Acts 17, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord in heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things.'" The more I listen, look, contemplate what men say concerning God Almighty, the more I'm coming to realize, I know it's so, I'm saying the more I'm coming to realize, this world is ignorant.
Yeah.
Ignorant of God. They don't know God. A year or so ago, I was with Glenda. We'd gone up to a place and we were sitting in a restaurant. And the person that was waiting on us had a particular dress garb outfit that distinguished a particular sect of people that hold to certain religious truths. Very easily recognizable. And as a general rule, I usually don't say anything to anybody. I just sit down and I don't say anything. But I was truly intrigued with this religious outfit that she had on. And I asked this young lady, I said, "Look, let me ask you something." I said, tell me very quickly. I know you're busy, but I just want to ask you this. I said, what's the basis? What's the heart? What's the bottom line of what you believe salvation is? I noticed your outfit, your hat. What do you believe? Oh, we believe that Jesus Christ came into this world and died on the cross. And that he saved sinners, you know. I said, everybody says they believe that. That's pretty universal. I said, let me just ask you a quick question. I said, do you believe that Almighty God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy and compassion, before the foundation of the world, chose to show mercy to a group of people that He chose in particular. Out of all the world, He selected some that He was pleased to show mercy to. And that the Lord Jesus Christ, having been given those people in an eternal covenant of grace, that Christ came into this world as their surety and lived before God's law for them and died under the justice of God's law for the elect, for a chosen people, and redeemed absolutely everyone that the Father had given Him. And with absolute certainty, God Almighty, by His Holy Spirit, is going to call every one of the elect out of darkness, and they will surely be saved. Oh, no, I don't believe that. She said, we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to make salvation possible. And that it's up to men to decide whether or not they want salvation. I said, well, thank you. You've answered my question. This world, by and large, does not know God. Men are absolutely in total darkness, dead in trespasses and sins. And He absolutely is going to have to do something for men. As old Brother Scott said, God's going to have to do something for Himself before He'll do anything for me. God's going to have to satisfy Himself before He saved me. And He did. Paul said, as he stood, he had gone to this city. There he was, waiting. And he looked around, the Scripture says, when he stood in the midst of Mars Hill. He'd drive down any road in West Virginia, anywhere you want to go. Go to any city, look around. And there's church buildings all over the place. And you look at these buildings, just like Paul when he stood in the midst of Mars Hill. And he said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. You're religious. You're religious. Paul did perceive the absolute ungodly worship of this world to be nothing more than false religion. He told these Mars people. In a sense, when he said what he said, he could have said what he said in a very harsh way, but the context does not, to me, appear to be that he was just going to just beat them over the head. Listen to me. The gospel itself is offensive to the natural man. The gospel itself, because why? Because he's proud. He's proud. He's arrogant. He's presumptuous. When you tell a man, that God elects a people, and you know what he's going to say? That's not fair. That's not fair. Man, I've told people so many times, fair. Listen to this. You listen to this scripture. In Adam all die. Thanks be unto God that God Almighty chose a people to show mercy to. Election is unto life. Election sets forth the hope Why? Because God so loved the world, He loved the order of man. Paul said, I perceive that you're too superstitious. The gospel itself is offensive. But you let the gospel be that which offends people. You don't have to go in here and treat people harshly. What we normally do is we normally end up telling men that they're wrong before we tell them what's right. Tell them what's right. Somebody told me one time that bankers, when they teach people how to catch counterfeit money, they just handle good money. Good money. That's all they handle is good money. And when they pick up bad money, they know it. That don't feel right. That don't look right. Color don't look right. You let a believer sit under something that's inconsistent. And I'm telling you, the first hint that comes across something that's inconsistent with what they know is so, and what red flags go up everywhere. They're thinking, wait a minute. Paul says, I perceive that you're too superstitious. Remember this. A soft word turneth away wrath. A tender heart turneth away anger. But grievous, hurtful words stir up anger. Proverbs 15:1. Oh, the mercy of God. Paul said, I perceive, verse 22, you're too superstitious. As I, verse 23, passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. That's what I'm titled is. Him declare I unto you. As I passed by, what a miracle of God's grace that God Almighty would send a preacher. Mercy, mercy, mercy is exhibited, openly exhibited. The Lord said, I'll send you pastors after my heart. Oh, where you find God has raised up a place and God has sent him a pastor. That is by the grace of God. Here was a preacher. A preacher in Athens. Athens, Greece, just the very center of all the know-it-all, the hoopla. And here were these men. Paul said, I beheld your devotions. I saw these gods that you're worshiping. You know, a believer sees really what's not present. Place of true worship. If I was going to go somewhere and it wasn't Katy Baptist Church, where would I go? I'll tell you where I'm going to go. I'm going to go someplace that I feel comfortable, where there's a pastor that's consistent. One truly seems to me to be having the honor of Almighty God at heart, the good of His people, God's people. That's where I'm going to go. Paul looked around and realized that no place, there's nothing here. It's not until the Spirit of God quickens a man's heart that he sees with eyes of faith toward Christ and hears with ears that loves His gospel that he can truly behold that which is false. How do you know? You remember that illustration I told you about Darwin Pruitt? That's one of the best. I've used this so many times, but I love it. Darwin's nephew asked him one time, he said, you say that salvation is all of grace. They say it's made possible and that you have to accept what God, you know. You say they're wrong. They say you're wrong. He said, how do I know? How do I know? And Darwin said, but for the grace of God, you won't. And if Almighty God doesn't do anything for you, you'll find something that sounds good It sounds, I guess that sounds good as any. And you'll go somewhere where they pat you on the back and tell you what a good Christian you are. And you'll get on some committees. They'll give you a job, keep you busy, and you'll die right there. But for the grace of God. The Apostle Paul had been called out of spiritual darkness, and he recognized by eyes of faith the spirit of idol worship. Paul knew what he was talking about. That's what he'd been previously engaged in. That's what men by nature. Usually you talk to somebody, and as a general rule, not always, but as a general rule, men are called out of false religion, sitting under false religion. I think about so many of you that have sat here for years and years, sat under Brother Scott, and he's the only one you ever heard. But I'll tell you one thing, it took the same power to call you out of darkness as it did to call anybody out of false religion. Same power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, same power. It takes the power of Almighty God to regenerate a heart. Regenerate a man. Give him a new spirit. New mind. Though people say they worship Jehovah, without a new heart, without regenerating power, that person merely worships the God of their imagination. Man makes up a God. Isaiah 29:13 says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men." I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God. Amazingly, these Athenians, while boasting of their vast wisdom that they had in all things, actually wrote that on stone. They were more honest than most people are. You ask men, "Do you know God?" "Sure, I know God. Tell me about Him. Tell me about who God is." I had someone come to me this week, about 3 days ago. And they said, "Can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." And they said, "I'm lost. I'm lost." And I'm telling you, I was so taken back by what I heard. I said, "Do you mean before God Almighty?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "How do you know?" She said, "I'll tell you this, I know this, if I die," she said, "I'm going to hell." And I told her, I said, "You could have not told me one thing that would have been more of an encouragement to me and to tell me I'm lost." I said, "If anybody truthfully from the heart admits, I don't know God," I said, "I'm going to tell you something. God's already shown mercy to you." Because I said, "I'm telling you, hundreds of people pass this church daily. And I would say, by and large, the vast majority, not all of them, because some of you pass by, but by and large, the vast majority don't know and don't care." Oh, I'm telling you, everything in the world that I could possibly think of at that moment, I was thinking to myself, "I've got to tell you who God is. I've got to tell you who the God of this Bible is. I want you to know. If you're lost, if you're truly lost, you want to know. You do want to know. If you're truly lost, And then after I told her everything I could possibly think of, I still second-guessed myself. And I think to myself, who's sufficient for these things? I got up this morning, coming over here, thinking about that. And thinking to myself, Marvin, don't you dare. Strive as much as you can. Tell these people who God is. Don't ever assume that anybody knows who God is. Tell them to the unknown God. This wasn't an attempt on their part to give honor to the gods that they didn't know. I'll tell you what they were trying to do. They were trying to cover their bases right here to the unknown God. We got all these gods we're worshiping right now. But just in case we've missed one, we're gonna put up an altar to the unknown God. By the grace of God, I heard Brother Scott say this too. You ever notice how many things? I told him one time, I said, Brother Scott, be careful what you tell me. I said, I may be listening. But he told me, he said, I'll tell you what, he said, a believer does. He puts all his eggs in one basket. One basket. These people right here, they thought just in case we don't have our faces covered, we're going to put up an altar. And whoever that unknown God is, he'll just accept. Paul said, I want to tell you, the one that you're ignorantly worshiping, the one that you ignorantly worship, they worship. They worship. You say, they actually worship. The scripture said that Lydia worshiped the God of her imagination. The Lord opened her heart and she attended to the words that Paul was preaching. That woman at the well, the Lord told her, He said, you worship, you know not what. She didn't know who God is. Almighty God is a God that must be set forth with clarity. How are they going to hear? How are they going to believe without a preacher? How are they going to preach unless God Almighty sends a preacher and teaches a preacher? This is who God is. Listen to Paul the Apostle. Here is the message that Paul preached. And I listened and I read these words again this morning. And I thought to myself, the Spirit of God has given the message that Paul preached. And I'm going to take those two verses, 24-25. I want to look and I want to see what did the Spirit of God have the Apostle Paul saying. I can do no better than to bow what Almighty God's got to say. Here's what he said. Paul says, Him declare I unto you, and the next words out of his mouth, God that made the world. And all things therein. God Almighty, who is the creator of all things. How far has God created? Proverbs 16:4, the Lord hath made all things for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. You mean to tell me that God Himself created all of these things, everything that we see, everything we can't see with our eyes, even the wicked for the day of evil? My friend, this is the God that Paul set forth. He's God. He's sovereign. Infinitely sovereign in all things. Sovereign in creation, sovereign in providence, sovereign in salvation. This is the God of this Bible. This is the God, the unknown God that you say you're worshiping, and you're worshiping in absolute ignorance. You don't know Him. Paul said, I'm going to tell you who He is. This is God. God that made the worlds and all things therein. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." One of the most amazing passages of Scripture that I've read. I just here's what's said in that. God Almighty said, "Let us make man." The word "make" in Genesis 1:26. Look it up. Believe me, I would not stand here and tell you this if I had looked it up. I think I've got at least enough sense to know that. Somebody may check up on me. Let us appoint. Let us appoint man in our image. Who is the image of the invisible God? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us make man. Let us appoint man in our image, after our likeness. Let us consider men, all men, in their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the express image of God. The Scripture says, Genesis 1:27, "So God created man in His own image." God created. It means to cut down or to make fat. Can I just come to the heart of what I just said right here? Does God have the right to make one vessel of honor and another vessel of dishonor? Does God Almighty have the right to set His affection, His eternal love upon an object of His mercy and say, "I'll have mercy unto whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion upon whom I'll have compassion. Let us make man, let us appoint man according to their relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ." And God had a right. All souls are mine. Can I not do with my own as I will? Paul said, "This is the God that you don't know." This is God Almighty. To say that God made the world and all things therein, that means that this thing is not evolving. Number one, it didn't come out of green slime. And number two, it's not being sustained on its own. Well, the earth is getting warmer, they say. It'll get cooler. Well, I tell you what, it won't be long. You know, the seasons are changing. No. As long as Almighty God sustains this, it's going to be poor. Just like they are right now. God Almighty is absolutely seated in the heavens. And David said, "He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." Nebuchadnezzar, "He doeth as He will in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth. No man stays His hand." John 6:39, concerning our Lord's will. He who is the Creator. He who rules and reigns. John 6:39. What is God's will? What's the will of God? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me." My, if men would just stop and read the Word of God. I know that the Lord's going to have to give my heart. I can't tell you how many years I read the Bible. And when God was pleased to open my eyes, all of a sudden I saw, you know what? This is everywhere. God's sovereignty is everywhere. This is the Father's will that He sent me, that of all which He's given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Paul said, "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He's Lord in heaven and earth." Lord in heaven and earth. Isaiah 45:7 says, "I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. God Almighty is God. Paul said He dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God's not limited to puny thoughts of man, confined to shrines created by the feeble hands of men. Last Wednesday night, I was sitting there at my desk. I just caught out of the corner of my eye, somebody came down right here. I thought it was someone that goes here first, but then I looked again. Someone was kneeling down right here. Stayed there for a few minutes. Got up and walked out. And I asked somebody, I said, "Who's that?" He said, "I don't know." Some lady just walked in, wanted to know if she'd come down and pray. Almighty God is not confined to this piece of wood. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands. I tell you where He dwells. He dwells in a temple that He's made in His people. Know ye not ye are the temple of the living God? Well, we're gonna stop people from praying in schools or whatever. You can't stop anybody that God's given a heart. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The universe is in Him. Believers call upon the Lord. In Christ Jesus dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. God's people are His temple. We've come together this morning. It's a Here's Katy Baptist Church. I know what we refer to. I understand that. This is a building here. This is God. In verse 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life, breath, and all things. Paul said He's neither worshipped, He's neither served, neither obeyed with men's hands of power, though He needed anything. I told you, I've heard that silly statement. He said, your hands are the only hands He has. Your mouth is the only mouth that He has. The Lord said in Psalm 50:12, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, the fullness thereof. This is what Scripture says, Luke 17, says, so likewise when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I don't add anything to the glory of Almighty God. When I come before you and stand before you, prepared, hopefully, to preach the gospel of God's grace. I'm a servant of God Almighty. This is my calling. It's my duty to be here. But I'll tell you this, I don't add one thing to His honor. He's God. He's God. God Almighty. God Himself, He's not worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything. Seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. That breath of air that He just gave you, that was His air. That physical life He gave you, that's His life. If He's pleased to call one of His own out of darkness, He has the right to do so. If He withholds it, He has the right to do so. Who is God? God Almighty is the one before whom all men are going to stand. He's God in heaven and earth. He's sovereign in all things. Moses said, when I go down to tell children of Israel, tell Pharaoh, who shall I say sent me? Well, that was another one that came to my mind when I was thinking about this. He said, you tell them that I am. I am that I am. That encompasses all things concerning His sovereignty. God Almighty doesn't bargain with men. He does as He will. He does as He will. May the Lord bless these words to our heart, our understanding. This is the God. I thank God, I'll tell you this, that God Almighty has raised up a place these many years that faithfully, He has allowed the gospel to be here. Because I know this, if He removes this candlestick, it's over. It's over. If He were to move the candlestick, take it out of Katie, many would say, I'm sure, I remember a time when you could go to this place right here and you could hear about who God was. Truly, who God Almighty was. Is. Lord, bless these words to our heart.